This evening, we're continuing in the study of putting on the whole armor of God. And this series has been entitled Battle Ready. And tonight, we're going to look at fitted with our battle shoes. Tonight is fitted with our battle shoes. I had other titles that I was thinking through. One of them was, What's in Your Closet? But I decided against that one, and from barefoot to battle ready, that would have been a good one, but I just decided on fitted with our battle shoes. So we need to be reminded as we get started why this is such an important topic. The reality of it is we are in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. And what I find interesting about this passage of chapter 6, starting in verse 10, where Paul shifts his attention to the armor of God, is he comes right out of this incredible passage that teaches about our relationship with each other as family and our relationship with God, guided by the Holy Spirit, right into this passage about put on your spiritual armor. It almost seems like it doesn't fit, doesn't it? But I want to tell you it does fit. And it fits extremely well for this reason. The evil one is always after two institutions. The evil one wants to destroy the church. And the evil one wants to destroy your family. And so when we look at it rightly, Paul put this passage in the perfect place. And so I'm not going to walk through a whole lot of what we've already discussed over the last couple of weeks from the early verses of chapter 6, verses 10 through the end of the chapter. But just as a quick overview, you know that verses 10 through 13, Paul introduced the subject of spiritual warfare. And the church today is engaged in a cosmic battle against a powerful, wicked, cunning enemy. We know him as the devil. He's after every one of us here tonight. Do you believe that? He's after every one of us here tonight. He employs, as it says in verse 11, schemes. These are deceitful strategies and methods to undermine the faith of the saints and to attack the glory of God. So we need to understand tonight that this battle is real and it's fierce. So God gives us the command in the midst of all this to stand against the attacks of the enemy. And what Paul does here, he continues the theme, the military theme, by using this word stand, which is a military word that means to hold a critical position during a time of enemy attack. It's the image of a soldier, if you will, who is refusing to yield even one inch the ground to an attacking foe. It's the picture of protecting the ground that's already been won. God has given us. God gave his people that he's talking to in the first century here, and God has given to us some very precious possessions. He's given us his truth. He's given us his church. He's given us his word, his grace, his salvation, his blessing, and much, much more. And the devil wants all of it. He will stop at nothing to take everything that the Lord has given to us. So if we are to keep what we have received from the Lord, we must stand and hold on to the critical ground that we have received from the Lord. And so to Paul, he says, to do that, you've got to put on the whole armor of God. And he tells us about the pieces which constitute this armor, and we've already looked at some of that in previous sessions. For example, we've already discussed the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. So this evening, we're going to continue by discussing what it means to be battle ready, by considering the importance of wearing the right shoes for battle. Let's examine what Paul means when he says that we are to stand, and here's our verse for tonight, with our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So tonight we're in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. And I'll read that to you again. Our scripture verse tonight is fitted with the readiness that comes, our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. First thing I want you to see is the importance of protected feet. The importance of protected feet. Shoes are important, aren't they? You know, Elvis had his blue suede shoes. Nancy Sinatra had boots made for walking. How many of you remember the old Converse high tops? Remember their slogan, don't wear the shoes that slip and slide, wear the ones with the star on the side, right? And then you had that great sage from the 70s, KC and his Sunshine Band. They had my boogie shoes. And so shoes are important. Now, I've never been a barefoot person. I know a lot of people like to go barefoot, but I do have a great appreciation for shoes. Because when it's cold, we have boots to keep us warm. And when it's hot, we have flip-flops to show off our gnarly feet. And if you're a construction worker, you probably appreciate a good set of steel-toe shoes. And if you're a baseball player, your cleats are essential. So shoes are important. Shoes are essential for life. And as important as shoes are to the athlete or to the construction worker, to the businessman, or just for casual living, they are even more important to the soldier. The soldier is dependent on his boots. Soldiers are required to march long distances, fight battles in all types of environments, walk through jungles, over rocks, cross stream beds filled with sharp, jagged rocks, slog through the snow and the deserts. If a soldier's feet become swollen, tender, cut, or blistered, that soldier would be greatly hindered in the day of battle. The soldier might not be able to stand and fight, might not be able to march, might not be able to properly handle his weapons, and he certainly would not advance on the enemy. Sore feet could keep a soldier from doing his job. So today we have floor shines. We have Uggs. We have Crocs. We have Nikes. We have Ariats. But tonight I want you to learn about the Kaligas. You see, in Paul's metaphor, the full armor of God included the Roman soldiers' leather boots that protected the feet and the ankles. These boots, called the caliga, were a half boot that allowed the soldier to advance toward the enemy undistracted and not worrying about what they might step on. This piece of the armor was essential to the Roman soldier's readiness for battle. These boots usually had what they called hobnail soles on them. It means they had bits of metal or nails driven through them. They were like golf shoes, in essence, is what they were like. And the soles of these shoes gave a Roman soldier great traction as they climbed hills and crossed rough and uneven terrain. The boots worn by the Roman soldier gave him great stability as he engaged the enemy. And if we are going to stand against the schemes of the devil, we must have on the proper spiritual footwear. After all, the importance is we have to stand. We have to stand against the evil one. And so neglected feet are unprotected feet in the time of battle. Second thing I'd like for you to see is that good shoes enable good action. Good shoes enable good action. Again, our verse says, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." We all want to be ready, don't we? The word translated ready comes from the Greek word to stand. The idea is always to be standing by, always on duty, ready to go. The word also carried a connotation of urgency in the original language. A good example might be a soldier standing at attention, attentive, ready to assist at any moment. Timothy was to be ready in season and out of season, constantly prepared to do whatever God is calling him to do. We learn that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. In the original language, the words for in season and out of season mean timely or untimely, convenient or inconvenient. The thought is we have to live in a state of readiness. So the same word appears in Titus chapter 3, verse 1, which says, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities and to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good." So you see, a soldier's boots allow him to be ready for whatever he faces. A good pair of boots makes him ready to march, makes him ready to stand, it makes him ready to climb, to fight, or whatever else he may be called to do. And that same readiness should mark the people of God. And so what is it that we're to be prepared to do? What is it that we're called to do? Well, in part, it means that the child of God must always be ready to go or to advance for the sake of the gospel. In other words, we should be ready to share the gospel, ready to go for the sake of the gospel to a lost world. We're to move at the Lord's command, going from place to place, preaching the gospel to the lost and telling them about Jesus. There's a sense in which all believers are to be actively engaged in the business of evangelism. Peter said it this way, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." When God saved us, he commanded us to tell others what he's done for us and what he can do for them. He's given us his Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has equipped us for the work of evangelism. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The very heart of our duty to the lost is that we go and tell. We get that from the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. I believe that sharing the gospel with the lost advances the kingdom of God. Third thing I want you to see is good shoes help us stand firm. Good shoes help us stand firm. This is important because I just talked to you about the importance of sharing the good news, but that's not Paul's primary emphasis with this passage. His primary emphasis on this text is not on going, but on standing. He's not talking about sharing the gospel. He's talking about fighting the devil. He's talking about us being able to fight the evil one. The passage refers to the gospel of peace, which refers to the glorious news that through our relationship with Jesus Christ, we are at peace with God. It wasn't always that way. Before we were saved, we were the enemies of God. We learn that in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. When God saved us, he reconciled us to himself. And when he did, he declared us to be at peace with him. Notice what he says. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So now in Jesus, the saints of God are at peace with God. Colossians 1, 21 through 22 says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation." The gospel of peace that Paul refers to here is the marvelous news that in Christ we are at peace with God. It is the glorious truth that we have been made one with Christ. So having our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace means that we stand in the absolute confidence that God loves us and that he has forgiven us and that we are united with him and that he fights for us and that all is well with our souls. It is the confidence that we are saved. And when we have that confidence and when we possess the peace of God in our hearts, we are ready to stand against any enemy that comes against us. So there are several examples of this kind of standing in the Bible, and I'll remind you of them. You're familiar with them. You remember in Judges chapter 6, the passage about Gideon, who started out with 32,000 soldiers, and it dwindled down to 300. Those 300 men placed their confidence in the Lord and followed him into battle. They saw the Lord defeat an immense Midianite army without the use of a single weapon. All those men did was break clay jars, allowing a lamp inside to shine. They blew a trumpet and they cried, "A sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Their faith in the Lord's promise gave them the confidence to stand. And then in one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You remember this great passage? 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the people of Judah were about to be invaded by the powerful armies of the Ammonites and the Moabites. They were afraid, but the Lord spoke to King Jehoshaphat, and he said in verse 15 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle was not yours, but God's." You remember the rest of that story, don't you? An angel of the Lord showed up to somebody in the midst of Judah and told them, "I've heard a word from the Spirit of God." And he said, "The battle does not belong to us, it belongs to God. We will have victory in this battle." And so just at the news of hearing this word, King Jehoshaphat brings all of the musicians and all of the singers to the front of the people, and he has them, even before the battle has been won, singing praise to God, and they're singing music to God. And the Lord shows up and says, "This is what I need for you to do." And he points them into a direction to where these enemies are going to come. And he said, "I need you to show up. You're not going to have to do anything, but I want you to see my glory." And you know what happened? Those armies showed up and they took each other out. But the people of God got to see his glory as he did his bidding for them. Judah experienced a great victory because they took God at his word and stood in their confidence in him. Are you confident in God's ability tonight? Do you trust God tonight? Do you believe that God can win your victories? We want to say yes, don't we? But faith and trust sometimes are very difficult. Hey, in John chapter 18, verses 1 through 11, you remember this? That's when Simon Peter drew his sword against the soldiers who came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was encouraged and almost empowered when the soldiers came after Jesus and they asked if Jesus was the one they sought. And Jesus said, "I am," in verse 6 of John chapter 18. And in that moment, Peter felt like he could take on the whole army. You remember what happened in the rest of that story? He drew his sword and cut off the ear of one of the soldiers that approached. One of the last acts Jesus had to do as a free man was heal the man's ear. Probably one of the men that came to arrest him. We see, for us tonight, we need to understand that we stand in the Lord's power. and in full assurance of the Lord's salvation. And because of that, we do not have to fear. We don't have to fear any enemy, and even that of the enemy, Satan himself. When we are attacked, we stand on the firm, unchanging ground of the gospel of grace. The same gospel that converted us from sinners into saints. The same gospel that changed God from our enemy into our protector. We who were on the outside are now the sons of God. He is our heavenly Father and we are his children. And everything we need to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power is at our disposal. Our confidence in the day of battle does not rest in our own power, but in the promises of God. Romans 8:31 says this, "What then shall we say in response to these things?" If God is for us, who can be against us? He goes on to say in verses 37 through 39, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." These promises, these truths, these are the shoes that give us the ability to stand in that evil day. The truth that we are loved by the Lord gives us confidence to stand. The truth that we are saved by his grace gives us the confidence to stand. The truth that we are his children gives us the confidence to stand. The truth that we are in his sovereign care and that he has promised to stand with us, to protect us, to keep us, and defend us gives us confidence to stand. And so the question tonight is, are you ready to stand? Are you ready to stand? What keeps you from standing firm when the battles of life come along? Do you have absolute confidence in your heart that God has saved your soul, forgave your sins, adopted you into his family? If you have this kind of confidence, you can stand regardless of what the enemy throws at you. Unless you are grounded in absolute assurance of salvation, the enemy will have little trouble knocking you off your feet. So what kind of shoes are you wearing tonight? Are you wearing shoes that will cause you to slip and slide? Are you wearing battle-ready shoes that allow you to get a firm grip on the soil that the Lord has placed you on, where you can stand firm with him? You can be sure tonight, you can have confidence that all is well. You can know him and his power to stand. You can be stable, strong, and sure. To have that stability, you need to be sure that you're saved. And when you are, the enemy will have a hard time with you because, as the scripture says, when the day of evil comes, we'll be able to stand our ground. And after we've done everything, we can stand. So are you ready to stand tonight? Are you standing tonight? Firm in all that God has given you, all that he's blessed you with, his love, his goodness, his power, his word, his salvation. All of these things he's made ready for us to stand. And we need every bit of it. Because the enemy is real. And the enemy is after you, and he's after me. He will hold back at nothing to try to destroy us, to destroy God's church, to destroy your family, to destroy you. And so the question is, are you fitted with battle shoes this evening? Stand firm. God's for us. Who can be against us? May he bless us tonight and thank him for his word. God, thank you so much for your love and for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you for this lesson from your word. Lord, we all know all too well how the enemy will attack and wreak havoc on our lives if we're not standing firm in you. He'll wait a whole lifetime to ambush us in a weak moment. And so, Lord, tonight we say we need you. We need you, Lord. Would you please protect us from the evil one? God, would you help us understand the stark reality of the battle that we're in? Equip us, empower us. Fill us so much with yourself, Lord, that we will have the courage of a warrior. Please don't let the evil one have his way with us. I pray for everyone in this room tonight. I pray, God, that we would trust you with our lives, that we would be committed to studying your word, spending time with you, spending time with each other, equipping ourselves, God, to stand firm in the day which is evil. Lord, we know the victory belongs to you. Give us the faith to trust you. And we look forward, God, to that day that even though the battle is already won, Lord, for those of us who live here on earth, God, are still engaged in a battle that goes on this side of heaven, and we need your help. But we look forward to that day when we reside with you in heaven and that battle is no more. But until then, help us, Lord, I pray, to stand firm. In Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen.